From Washington, this is VOA's International Edition. Coming up, a New Year's stampede in China kills at least 36 people. We look at overcoming HIV obstacles in 2015, and we examine how challenges from last year will affect the world in the new year. It's all ahead. I'm Sarah Williams. A New Year's Eve stampede at one of the most iconic tourist spots in China's massive city of Shanghai has left at least 36 people dead and more than 40 others injured. VOA's Bill Ide reports from Beijing.
Shanghai authorities say the stampede occurred on a stairway at the popular riverfront area, or Bund as it is called, which has expansive views of the city's skyline. State media say the chaos began less than half an hour before midnight. Video footage posted on China's Youku website showed scores of revelers pinned on a stairway that led up to a riverfront platform. As police and onlookers yelled at the crowd urging people to move back, individuals could be seen collapsing and crushing one another. The crowd gradually dispersed, but for some, it was already too late. At a news conference Thursday, Cai Li-Xing, deputy director of the Huangpu Public Security Bureau Command Center, told reporters the backup occurred on the steps as some tried to go up and others wanted to come down. Cai says the crowd was so big that those in back did not know what was going on in front of them and pushed forward. He says that with both pressing against each other, it was easy for such a stampede to occur. Cai says police deployed some 500 personnel to the scene. Cui Tingting says she witnessed what happened. She says she was horrified by what she saw. Cui says that the scene was too cruel, with people stepping over others who had fallen on the ground. She says it was not like this was a terrorist attack where you needed to run to save your life. People just needed to leave. Cui, like other witnesses, confirmed seeing fake dollar bills on the ground at the time. Some say the bills were thrown from a bar on the Bund and that individuals bending over to pick them up may have led to the tragedy. Police say they are investigating the possible lead. Chinese President Xi Jinping has called for a thorough and swift investigation into the incident. Authorities say 13 of the 40 injured are still in serious condition. Doctors say that some had their chest, head, or abdomens crushed during the stampede. State media say that many of those killed were students and that most were women. Shanghai's Bund is home to a historic row of buildings that date back to the city's pre-Communist Party days. The buildings are home to upscale restaurants, bars, shops, and hotels. Photos posted on social media at the time showed massive crowds. In one photo, a sea of New Year's revelers surrounded cars parked in the street as if they were swallowing them up. Other photos showed how police had to join hands to keep surging crowds back and clear a way for ambulances to carry away the injured, who were taken to four different hospitals in the city. The English language Shanghai Daily recently reported that a popular laser light show celebration on the riverfront was canceled this year. Authorities say crowd size was a concern. Last year, 300,000 attended the show. The cancellation, however, did not keep the crowds away. In Beijing, authorities canceled a celebration outside the tallest building in the city just before midnight. Colorful lights that had lit up the building and the city's skyline were turned off when authorities began to worry that the crowd had become too large. Bill Ide, VOA News, Beijing.
Elsewhere, people around the world welcome the new year with fireworks, glitter, song and dance, and well-wishing. At least for this day, the world seemed to have one unique goal, to join in celebration, although it was subdued in Indonesia, where people mourn those killed in this week's Air Asia plane crash. Zlata Sahok reports that world leaders took the opportunity to broadcast messages of peace.
More than 1 million revelers gathered in Sydney Harbour to watch the city's famous fireworks display. Similar spectacles took place in major cities around the globe. China's capital, Beijing, offered winter sports demonstrations and art performances in its Olympic stadium, known as the Bird's Nest. The four-hour show was meant to showcase China's bid to host the 2022 Winter Olympics. President Xi Jinping called for world peace in his New Year's message.
We hope sincerely that all countries can work together to ensure that all people be free from the torture of hunger and cold, and that all families be free from the threat of wars. All the world's children must flourish under the sun of peace.
China's impoverished neighbor North Korea staged a 15-minute fireworks display in the capital Pyongyang as part of the New Year celebrations. In Japan's capital Tokyo, revelers welcomed 2015 by releasing hundreds of balloons. In Europe, Pope Francis reiterated his trademark defense of the poor in the New Year's Eve Vespers service in St. Peter's Basilica.
Senz'altro, le gravi vicende di corruzione.
Without a doubt, the degree of corruption revealed in recent days requires a serious and conscious conversion of heart for a spiritual and moral rebirth, as well as for a commitment to build a more just and brotherly city where the poor, the weak, and the marginalized are at the center of our concerns and our daily actions.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel condemned burgeoning racist movements in Europe. She also had a tough message for Russia.
Es steht völlig außer Frage.
There's no question at all that we want security in Europe together with Russia, not against Russia. But equally, there's no question of the fact that in Europe we cannot and we will not accept a so-called right of the strongest to violate international law.
French President François Hollande called for unity and mutual respect among different ethnic and religious groups.
Et devant les menaces qui montent et qui inquiètent,
concerning the increasing and worrying threats of terrorism, sectarianism, fundamentalism, it's not by dividing ourselves or by stigmatizing a religion or by conceding to fear that we will protect ourselves. It's by defending firmly our common rules, secularism, the republican order, the security of individuals, the dignity of women.
Countries in the Western Hemisphere were the last to welcome in the new year. In New York City, with the best known of all celebrations in the United States, the theme of this year's party was the gift of fortitude.
And that's because our special guest this year is the International Rescue Committee, which honors and helps refugees and displaced people from around the world. And they are folks that show a lot of fortitude and a lot of strength in the face of adversity.
Around the world, ordinary people expressed wishes and hopes that the coming year will bring happiness and prosperity to all. Larissa Hoke, VOA News, Washington.
The head of a prominent HIV/AIDS advocacy organization says 2015 will be a year of great opportunities and great challenges. The epidemic is nearly 35 years old, and more than 30 million people are estimated to be living with HIV. VOA's Joe DiCapua reports.
Mitchell Warren says one challenge of the new year will be to translate recent scientific advances into practice. Warren is executive director of AVAC, which he says aims to accelerate the ethical development and global delivery of HIV prevention tools as part of a comprehensive response.
This is a year that will define the AIDS response. We're now over 34 years into the epidemic, and it is truly a point at which we will know if we are on the right track to ever ending this epidemic, or if we continue to muddle through year by year, hoping we do the right things but not knowing for sure.
He says early in 2015, results should be announced regarding a promising HIV prevention option, an effective microbicide.
As you may recall, back in 2010, we had the initial proof of concept of the CAPRISA trial that showed that tenofovir gel provided some partial protection for women in South Africa.
Tenofovir is an antiretroviral, widely used to subdue the virus within the body, but it's also been shown to be effective in preventing infections. Since 2010, a study has been underway to confirm and expand on the CAPRISA findings. It's called FACS-001 and is also taking place in South Africa. The study is funded by the U.S. and South African governments and the Gates Foundation. Warren says FACS-001 could confirm whether tenofovir gel used before and after sex can prevent HIV infection.
The results are expected in the first quarter of the year. If that's a positive result, and if it confirms the CAPRISA finding, we would then be looking at how do you take that product forward outside of clinical trial into practice. So a very exciting first quarter, I think, just because of that trial result.
At the end of 2015 and in early 2016, the results of two other microbicide studies are expected to be released. One will look at the effectiveness of a vaginal ring filled with an antiretroviral drug. Also in South Africa, an AIDS vaccine trial gets underway this year. It's a follow-up to the 2009 Thailand vaccine trial that showed protection against HIV was possible. The results from the South Africa trial and related studies, however, will not be available for several years. Meanwhile, greater use of antiretrovirals as a preventive measure is expected. It's called PrEP, or pre-exposure prophylaxis. But the AVAC executive director says the predominant use will remain as treatment for those infected.
2014 ended with the calls by the United Nations AIDS program, UNAIDS, to really set a new target about treatment. The UNAIDS new target is this 90-90-90, trying to make sure that 90% of people who are infected know their status, that 90% of them get onto treatment, and that 90% of those on treatment are what we call virologically suppressed. And if they're virologically suppressed, it means they are very unlikely to transmit HIV.
He says an ambitious but feasible goal would be to have 15 million people on HIV treatment by the end of 2015.
That would be a terrific step in the right direction. But of course, there are over 30 million people infected with HIV. So we have a very long way to go to really see treatment scale up to the degree that we need it to. But it is on the right trajectory. Drug pricing is coming down because you have much higher volumes.
However, he says, there are antiretroviral supply problems at some clinics in developing countries.
For all of the excitement around prevention, around treatment, it really becomes a resource question because this success in the AIDS response does not come cheap, and it certainly does not come free. And the question really becomes, are we as a global community going to continue to scale up our investments in the things that we know can work? Because all the talk of ending the epidemic is predicated on good science and on real resources, and we're beginning to see those resources eroding.
Warren does not foresee an end to the HIV/AIDS epidemic for at least 10 years. One of the obstacles is ongoing stigma and discrimination. He says unless that problem is solved, no vaccine or antiretroviral will be effective in the long term. He adds that there is no medical response that can address people's perceptions of others. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
The year 2014 witnessed major events from the Ukrainian conflict to the still mysterious disappearance of Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, the rise of the militant Islamic State group in Syria and Iraq, the abduction of dozens of schoolgirls by Boko Haram insurgents in Nigeria, West Africa's Ebola epidemic, the plunge of world oil prices, and the breakthrough in U.S.-Cuba relations. It also saw the passing of prominent people, actress Lauren Bacall, actors Mickey Rooney and Robin Williams, rock star Joe Cocker, Israeli leader Ariel Sharon, and Georgia's Edward Shevardnadze. Jonathan Adelman, associate professor at the University of Denver's Corville School of International Studies, tells VOA's Victor Beatty the most disturbing trend of the year was the resurgence of radical fundamentalism around the world.
And I think what was rather shocking to many people was that ISIS, although it didn't win overwhelmingly, but nevertheless set a marker for so many other radical movements, whether we're talking about Hamas, we're talking about Hezbollah, we're talking about Ansar, you know, we're talking about al-Shabaab, so that it's this resurgence of radicalism, particularly in the Middle East and parts of Africa, that I think is rather shocking to many people. And the fact that the United States has seen almost and Europeans not certain what to do because nobody ever expected this to happen. And that's going to be a big issue in 2015. I think another big issue is what is going to be the legacy of Barack Obama. I think that's still, as it is for many presidents of this time, very much up in the air. And the direction that he wanted to go in, ending the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, decreasing the American military budget to the level of 1941, this is contrary to dealing with the problems that have really suddenly been surfacing in the last 2 years. So what he does about that and how successful he is will be a major indicator when we get to the end of December 2015 and wonder where we are then.
In June, a report by an organization, the Institute for Economics and Peace, showed that world peace declined for a seventh consecutive year in 2014. The group said in November, deaths from militant attacks leaped 60% to an all-time high, primarily in Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Nigeria. Are we seeing an increasing ferocity on the part of fundamentalist militants?
Well, there's no question, although no one wants to use the word, but in every single one of those cases, we're not talking about Christian fundamentalism or Jewish fundamentalism or Buddhist fundamentalism. We are talking about Islamic fundamentalism in all of those cases. And I think that reflects a serious issue in the Islamic world today, which has been the failure to make the economic transition that is so critical and was difficult but achieved in much of the rest of the world, that lay the base for a strong middle class, for an independent judiciary, for the democratic elections. And I think the failure to be able to create that, in other words, we were hoping in Afghanistan to do nation building. National destruction is a whole lot easier to do than nation building, unfortunately. And so I think that that's a trend that's absolutely going to continue. And there's just no easy answer, because the problem is not just those radical movements. They're just the tip of the iceberg. The problem is the inability of that part of the world, and not just the Islamic part of the world, but other parts of the third world as well, to make the kind of transitions that are so necessary to have the kind of peace and prosperity that we wish for the rest of the world.
Looking to 2015, which country do you think might make the most imprint? Would it be China, Russia, perhaps Iran and its nuclear program?
I think the Iranian issue is number one. The Iranians have, you're absolutely right. The Russians just aren't going to make it. They know that very well. They have a $2 trillion economy. They're in serious economic problems. China, too, with 1.4 children per family and, you know, rapid decline in their rate of growth also has problems. But Iran is still bidding for being the dominant power in the Middle East. What happens to Iran, whether it gets nuclear weapons, whether it now, as it's trying to make peace with Hamas and with other leaders in the region, that's going to have a major impact, because as Iran goes, the moment they have nuclear weapons, the Saudis have already said they're going to go nuclear, the Egyptians are going to go nuclear, the Turks have indicated they might go nuclear, and we could suddenly see a world that would make the problems that we're now talking about seem minuscule.
That's Jonathan Adelman. He's associate professor at the University of Denver's Korbel School of International Studies. He was speaking with VOA's Victor Beatty. Adelman says with the passing of another year, the United States, with all its flaws, indisputably remains the most dominant nation in the world. He says countries that are unwilling to embrace some form of democracy, capitalism, and the rule of law will continue to represent the biggest problems for the world in 2015. Well, make sure you look at our website. You can get to it at voanews.com. We have a range of stories that might interest you. Thanks very much for joining us today for International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington.
This is Today in History. On January 1st, 45 BC, the Julian calendar, introduced by Roman Emperor Julius Caesar, was put into use. Over the centuries, however, it proved inaccurate in determining the solar year. The Gregorian calendar, devised in the 16th century, sought to correct the error and is widely followed today. In 1785, The Times was first published in London under a different name. The Times remains the city's oldest daily newspaper. In 1863, U.S. President Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation went into effect. The executive order, in the midst of the American Civil War, declared freedom for all slaves in areas of the rebel Confederacy not under U.S. government control. It transformed the nation's bloodiest conflict from a war over secession to a moral struggle against slavery. On this day in 1892, the first of millions of immigrants to the United States passed through the doors of the Ellis Island Immigrant Processing Center in New York Harbor. Thus began 62 years of operation in which the ancestors of millions of Americans began new lives in America. In 1895, John Edgar Hoover, the first director of the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation, was born. Under Hoover's 48-year tenure, the FBI would become one of the world's premier crime-fighting organizations. In 1912, the Republic of China was established on this date. In 1942, 26 governments signed a declaration vowing to use all their resources in the conflict against the Axis powers of Nazi Germany, Fascist Italy, and Japan. I'm Dave DeForest with VOA's Today in History.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
The United States government is committed to supporting efforts by the governments and people of Central Africa to end the threat posed by the Lord's Resistance Army. As part of that support, the United States is offering a reward of up to $5 million for the arrest or live capture of any of three men leading the group, Joseph Kony, Okot Othiambo, and Dominic Ongwen. They have been charged with war crimes and crimes against humanity by the International Criminal Court. You could be rewarded very richly for information leading to the arrest of one or all of these men. $5 million is enough to buy 10,000 cattle, to ensure your family's needs are met for the rest of your life, to ensure your children's education, and much more. In the past 3 years, our government has made a total of 17 payments for information provided about other war criminals under this program. The people of the United States are committed to ensuring that justice prevails. If you or anyone you know has information on these men or their whereabouts, it can be provided with complete confidentiality. To report information in South Sudan, call 211-912-157-623. In Sudan, call 1-870-22-000. Press 0 and ask to speak with security. In DRC, call 243-81-715-2501 or 243-82-481-9841. And in Uganda, call 256-414-306-040. You may also provide this information to any U.S. government or U.S. military representative. Thank you.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.